You're all getting on, okay? You're all getting on. Steve, who was at the game today. Hey, Steve, how was it?
Hey, guys. It was, interestingly, I went by myself. Tuesday night at 2 in the morning, I was literally thinking about the A's, and I bought a ticket online. I go there. I'm sitting next to another guy who went there by himself, a guy named Umar. The reason I became an A's fan, I'm 59, like your previous caller said, he had all those great points. I'm not even going to get into those, but he hit on every point there. So my parents came from another country. They were into soccer, right? I wasn't into soccer. I was into baseball, football, and basketball. And, of course, in 72, it was the A's. I wore glasses. It wasn't a good thing to wear glasses in the 70s, especially in the early 70s. You were four eyes, you were a dork, blah, 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 blah. But I had Reggie Jackson, and Reggie Jackson wore glasses, and he was a masher. And so I'm sitting next to a Gen Zer, Umar, and he's from Pakistan. And so we're talking about how he got into it. He's a Raider fan and an A's fan. He came from Sacramento to come to the game. And it was such a great conversation. I'm saying, we're sitting behind the plate, a little far back, but behind the plate. And I'm like, did you ever come to the stadium before Mount Davis was there? No, I was never there. This was one of the most beautiful stadiums in all of baseball. You had the hills in the background. It was, you see Bart coming by. It was just beautiful. And that was one of the worst things that ever happened was the Raiders' return, right? Because he ruined that stadium. You guys hit on so many things. I've been on hold for a while, and just everything that everybody's been saying is amazing. And Dibs, you talked about about the peninsula and the wine sippers. When I was there in the 70s, those were blue collar people, just like in the East Bay. They were contractors and plumbers and electricians, but they were all Niner fans and Giant fans. And I was wanting to be with a winner. And in the 70s, the winners were in Oakland. That was title town. And what was interesting is back when I was a kid, there wasn't ESPN. So it was literally the center of the sports world in Oakland. Okay, so when it was on NBC Nightly News and they did their sports thing, the center of New York went to Oakland, California. When I traveled around the country, people know Oakland. And why have they known Oakland for all these years? Because of the Raiders and the A's and these great teams that they've had and the Warriors. And when I was a kid, Al Attles brought the team to San Bruno to go play in the center we had there at the basketball court. So Oakland to me, it represents not just my childhood. I was a little melancholy today, but I really wasn't sad. It was like the end of a life well lived. If that makes sense, if it does at all. And people there were not, they were a bit sad, a bit melancholy, but really what I felt was people were just talking to each other, sharing stories. That's all it was all day, is people just in line or sitting next to someone. Everybody was sharing stories, and that was really cool. And it was so great that they won, and the way they won. And there were great highlights of it. But for me to be sitting next to a Gen Zer, and by the way, there was another gal next to me named Rebecca who went to Skyline High in Oakland. And I'd never met these people, but before the end of the game, I hugged them. We shook hands. I exchanged numbers with Umar, and I'm going to go to a Sacramento game. I'm not going to go to a lot. I'm going to go to one to go see one with him, and that's it, right? And, just... Oakland always will have a soft place in my heart just because of the sports teams, really. And I do think that is a major impact on the vibe of a town to a degree. And Dibs, I know you live there and I haven't. So you have a better feel about what that town is than I do in that regard. But I've gone there many times for many reasons. It's unfortunate that they're not going to be a major league town anymore because that's what they're represented by really to a lot of people around the country and the world. And what I hope one day is, and I'm going to end it here. I hope they knock the place down and they build like a sky dome where there's a great field and there's a mall inside there and there's shops and there's a hotel inside, just like in Europe where you can look down at the field from your hotel room. If they do that, wow, that would start turning that city around. I really appreciate the Vine. Thank you guys both very much for this. Have a great day.
Steve, thanks.
Yeah, and rack that guy.
Yeah, go ahead and rack that guy. And that's kind of what I was getting at, not to like belabor the point, but about the morale of the city. Like, I just think there's a different recognizability when you're a major league city. And I think the people within it feel that, even if they don't necessarily know that. I think you feel that. I think that's part of today. He also made me think of something else, and I haven't brought this up yet today. And this is actually a good thing. May not feel like a good thing all the time. I know there's been a lot of tears today. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of anger. But not all relocations are the same. And this one was very, very, like, in fact, painfully.
It's dirty.
Well, it was painfully telegraphed. And therefore, I'm not saying this is perfect or great, but you did get today, and not every fan base gets that, because sometimes the owner up and does it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I get that.
I watched the San Diego Chargers end up in a soccer stadium, and they essentially gave their fans no warning, and so you did not have an opportunity, because as a lot of people are reporting to us today, that it was not an angry vibe inside the stadium.
Right.
And I think it's because of what, like you said off the top of the show, which is that you're already past that. We've had so much time for the anger that today you're able to kind of circle back and just celebrate with your other people.
And for the most part, and I love the story he told about, you know, everybody telling stories to each other and you exchanging numbers with somebody half your age who you just met. And I think a lot of it for me, having lived in Oakland, is, you know, the experience of Al Davis building Mount Davis, which happened before I lived in Oakland. But when I moved there and you started to get the sense of, you know, John Fisher and Lou Wolf wanted public funds to go toward a new stadium. And I was among many people who were saying, no, not again, because Al Davis bilked the people. He sold them a bill of goods. He desecrated the Coliseum with that abomination. And so Oakland residents didn't want to spend even a dime to help support a billionaire to get a new stadium. And so what he said about doing was what I call victim shaming, where he was pointing the finger, well, the Oakland people don't want to support me. And so that's why when you talk about the morale of the city, I kind of push back against it, because for me, living there, the morale of the city and the identity of the city goes far above anything that Al Davis, Mark Davis, John Fisher, or Lou Wolf could have ever possibly done. Oakland's got a pride that goes above and beyond its pro sports teams. Now, I know from the outside looking in, maybe nationally, you look at Oakland and you say, oh, poor Oakland, you're a second-rate city. You lost three teams. But inside the city limits of Oakland, I think most Oaklanders don't think that way. They think that their pride points are much greater than just pro sports.
I hope so. But it can only help, is what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I'm going based on what I hear. And if there's a feeling of loss today, That's a part of it. That's a part of it. I'm not saying that anybody is, like, I don't know, feeling bad about themselves or has this self-loathing for their city or anything like that. But sports is where we go when we need an escape. It's where we go when we need something that, like, tickles our imagination. It's where we go when, as he even just pointed out, you want a community. You're high-fiving the people next to you you don't even know. Next thing you know, you're getting phone numbers and setting dates in Sacramento next year. All of that, to me, that's attached to morale. So I can't really speak to it, to even what you're saying right now. I just think that sports teams, that's part of what their function is.
Agreed, but I also think, and I want to get back to the phones, you and I have plenty of time to talk throughout week after week after week, but what you've seen from the Oakland Roots, and they are selling out Laney College, and they're going to go to the Coliseum, and they're going to draw 10,000 or more there. The Oakland Ballers baseball team with a redone Raimondi Field. Oakland still is very proud of its sports, professional sports, maybe not major league sports, but for me, the identity of Oakland is more wrapped around those grassroots teams than it is around the Oakland Athletics.
Tristan in Berkeley is next up. Hey, Tristan, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. It's a tough day. I'm 56, so I was born when they came out here. I grew up watching the team. I got to see Ricky Henderson steal bases, Stuart B. Clemens, the Bash Brothers, the Big Three. Got to see Terrence Long not swing the bat, take a called third strike. That was fun. You played that drop from 2012. That was one of the most amazing seasons I've ever seen. I got a chance to work in the clubhouse, so I got to actually meet Ricky Henderson and Dwayne Murphy and Bill Cottle and lots of players. As an adult, cleaning up after pro athletes doesn't sound like fun, but as a 14-year-old, man, that was the top. So lots of really wonderful memories there. And I'd like to thank the game because you guys gave the A's a chance to be on a real radio station. And that, getting a little verklempt here, and that should have been one of the things that helped save the team. And they blew that too. And it's just, it's like an old relative that's been hanging on that finally passes away. It's just really tough. I haven't really been into them for the past couple of years because they've been running so poorly, but seeing people steal dirt or take the dirt, somebody getting beat up for dirt, that's very Oakland. It's just hard today because it's just a big loss and there's no games to go to. And then I'm not going to go to Giants games. I'm not going to go to any baseball games. The team is dead. The league is dead to me. We're done. And there's a lot of people like me who were, you know, I know 56 isn't the demographic they want, but I know a lot of people that are my friends aren't watching the Giants or any baseball anymore.
I believe it.
It's a big loss.
No doubt. Tristan, thank you very much. And that is fundamental to the point that I'm making about not understanding why professional sports leagues operate the way they do in letting owners of the individual franchises all behave in different manners. Listen to what Tristan just said. This isn't about like, oh, I lost the A's. He said the game's dead. And a lot of people he knows say the game is dead. That's what I don't understand. That's why, like, sure, John Fisher, you're enemy number one. Want to get into a conversation about Oakland politics? I think we've been there. I get all the different aspects of this. But one thing that frustrates me in these stories is when the commissioners of the sport themselves sort of sit there repeatedly in front of microphones, shrugging their shoulders. Like, I don't know, what do you want me to do about it? Well, what do you want? What do you mean, what do you want to do about it? This is your league. And you are letting a major market get totally dragged, and it denigrates not just the team but the sport. And so, to me, there's got to be more. There's got to be more hands on that in an aware sort of a way. Awareness, not just finances, yeah, but overall branding and awareness.
I do think that there is awareness. I think these are smart people, but they look at it this way. If this constant uprooting of teams and the changing of teams and the diminishing fan base and the decline in the interest of the sport, if all those things are happening, how long will it take until it actually affects their bottom line? And if the answer is 20 to 30 years, then all these owners who are in their 50s and 60s, they don't really have that same love or the stewardship of the sport. I would say, and maybe this is my own cynical view of it, but I don't see a lot of pro sports owners looking at the long-term viability of a sport or a league at the expense of their short-term bottom line.
Yeah, but
and that's what this is.
But at the expense of them, their own kids. I mean, John Fisher, how did he get money? You're born into it.
Does he even have kids?
Yeah, that's whoever you want to gift this to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know many professional sports owners that look at this in a way where it's like, well, it's just going to last my lifetime and then I'm out. Like, this is supposed to be, we've watched the New York Giants are about to play football, the Mara family. This just gets handed down.
Yeah, sure, the York family and all the rest of it. I get it.
Right, so, like, I don't know, wouldn't you think about that? Wouldn't you think a little bit about the future of your business?
Not at the expense of your short-term bottom line. And I think we're giving John Fisher too much credit because he's a silver spooner who really never did anything on his own in his life. So he was born into it, like Bane. He just was born into it, being
born
a billionaire.
Born on third, thinks he had a triple, sure.
Exactly. And so I don't think that he necessarily has the wherewithal. Joe Lacob is the antithesis of that. Yep. A guy who was born into virtually nothing and fought and scratched and clawed and built this along with a number of other people. So he's going to look at it differently than a John Fisher.
Let's go to Bob in the city next up. Hey, Bob, thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
It's been a great, great show today. I mean, all across every show because, you know, it was about, okay, I understand that sports aren't necessarily the number one thing in Oakland, but it is a sense of civic pride, and especially if they have winners, then people will congregate, right? People will have that civic pride. Oh, it's Oakland, right? You know, but I'm over in the city side, and, you know, I just want to sympathize with all the A's fans out there because even though the stadium's not going down, it kind of feels that way. I look at Candlestick, and, you know, I went out there and saw the Bulldozers taking it down. And that was real emotional for me because that was like my childhood, you know, and all those great Super Bowls, obviously. So, you know, it kind of touches me like that. And it was kind of an emotional day today. It was cool. I'll think of all the venues at the Coliseum, though. I mean, everybody, all the, you know, Bruce Springsteen, I mean, Peter Frampton, I mean, David Bowie, the Stones. I mean, think of the venue. And you're right. And that, those two callers were correct. They should never let Al Davis come back and do what he did to that stadium because it just took away the whole beauty of it. I even remember the Oakland Invaders, USFL.
Oh, so good.
Oakland Invaders, yep, yep.
Yeah, after the Raiders left, you know, we used to go check them out. That's where Gary Plummer started, you know? So anyway, just a shout-out to all the Oakland A's. Keep the head up. And hopefully we'll get another team back in there.
Bob, thanks very much. I do wish that they're felt a little bit more like a vibe of that. I know that it's way too early to talk about. These things take time. How long have we been talking about Seattle getting an NBA franchise?
Yep.
Feels like forever. And now at least people talk about it, but I still don't know exactly when it's going to happen. But boy, I do wish there was more of a vibe. And that's one thing, and maybe morale's not the right word here. This is probably more about viability. That's where I think the fact that it's not one team, it's three teams that are no longer in the city, that makes it harder to imagine a pro sports expansion team picking Oakland in the future, in my opinion, well, unfortunately.
It would just depend on a number of things. One, you'd have to have the right owner, and we know who that is, and he would love to buy
He's one of them, yeah.
And the second thing That'd would be to have a site and or a stadium that is more viable than what the Coliseum is. Sure. And I know that the Coliseum land has been purchased by a local group, and they have great plans for it, and I'm excited to see what eventually comes of it, a multi-use property that's going to help to develop the East Oakland portion, because the standalone stadium and the standalone arena on that site is not enough to help the surrounding area in East Oakland. So yeah, it would take a lot of things. Primarily, it would take a new owner, obviously.
For sure. Starts there. Brian in San Ramon is next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Brian. Thank you for calling.
Hey, gentlemen. I'm just soaking in all this nostalgia and just had to share my story of how my dad used to take me to those A's games. I'm 48. And how, yeah, cheap family entertainment. You remember how cheap those bleacher tickets were? You can just pick up a ticket and just take your friend. He would say, hey, you want to grab a buddy? No, let's go. My favorite story, though, from going to the Oakland Coliseum when I was a little kid, sitting in those bleachers, was when Ricky Henderson played for the Yankees, and everybody's just hounding him. Hey, Ricky, you're a traitor. Hey, Ricky, you're this, you're that. He just slyly puts up a bird right behind his back, doesn't even turn around. The whole bleacher section just goes wild. Ricky, we love you, man. Hey, we love you, Ricky. And it's just that kind of stuff, you know, just gets ingrained in you as a youngster and makes you a fan for life. And you just, that was the last cheap entertainment for, you know, the major sport franchises. Forget trying to take my kids' family of four to a San Francisco 49er game with Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Spend $1,000 there. Trying to take, you know, good luck trying to go to the city, see a Warriors game after work and trying to park, you know, 10 miles away trying to get to that stadium. So it's just all the things that are lost with it. It's just sad to see it go. And, yeah, this, my dad always says they're going to kill that goose one day that's laying that golden egg, but I think that goose is just getting fatter and fatter, so I don't see it changing anytime soon. Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for letting me share my story.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, thank you for
great
listening.
Great stories, Brian.
And thank you for calling.
The Coliseum bleachers was a thing.
Sure.
And get out there for a cheap ticket, and you used to be able to walk all along the outfield concourse. And I remember being a young person, 19, 20, and just seeing all of the beautiful ladies who would be out there. And it was kind of like the arcade out here at Third and King, where doesn't matter what the baseball game is like. You can get out there on the outfield wall and just walk from foul pole to foul pole, and people watch and see the people and grab a crab sandwich. And they had that same vibe out there at the Coliseum in the 80s and 90s.
So good. Keep sharing the memories. 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs. How about Formo in Vallejo next up? Hey, Formo, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I just want to chime in on the commiseration sensation.
That's a buck.
That's happening right now.
Cha-ching!
Thank you. I appreciate that. I needed to hear that today. I went to the game Friday night solo. Went last night with my wife. And it was just like all the rest of the callers are saying. It was basically a walk down memory lane with a bunch of people that were strangers yet not strangers, because they're all in the same boat. And ultimately, I wanted to, you know, God Almighty, the perfect game I was there for. I got to see Ricky steal the base and break the record. I got to see a lot of great concerts. Stay on the green, my God. I really want to just call in and say thank you to the game for putting all this on all day. I've been listening. I am a service guy, so I'm driving in the car a lot. So I listen to all three shows, and it's been emotional, to say the least. And just to kind of, you know, chime in on what Tristan had said about being out on MLB, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. They had an opportunity, just like everybody else did, to kind of curtail the angle that the A's went with John Fisher just being one of the worst owners ever. But anyway, I just really wanted to call in and say thanks. And my God, I'm 54, so it's been almost my entire life in green and gold. So yeah, it's a tough one to swallow right now.
Formo, thank you. Appreciate it so much. I mean, that's one of the things I'm getting at. I know this is a way bigger story than today, and it's a way bigger story than just the A's. But in particular, this sport, if I'm baseball and I'm an owner or anyone, if I'm a commissioner, if I'm involved with the game, I am not going to be flippant right now about like, oh, bottom lines are, you know, business is booming. The books are balanced. Everything's cool. I would be very concerned right now about I guess the long term. I mean, I don't think that the sport's not going anywhere. I don't think in this moment it is in a relative state of unhealth. I don't think any of those things. But I'm curious. I am curious, at least from a generational standpoint, if you know, what kind of the staying power is based on the speed of it and based on where our society's going and the way teenagers watch content and all that stuff. I wonder, which is another reason why I find this move confusing. My main thing on it being, you don't even know where you're going. It's one thing to leave, but this does. It feels a little bit like when the teenager threatens to run away from home. Well, the hell are you going?
They think they know where they're going. And just, you had me thinking about the movie National Lampoon's Vacation. When they're going to Wally World, and Chevy and Beverly D'Angelo and Anthony Michael Hall and the gang, they're in the car. And when you get there, there's no there. It's closed. And so, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, it's been out for 40-something years, but this is kind of like that, where, yeah, we're going to Vegas, we're going to Vegas, we're going to Vegas. Are you really going to Vegas?
I don't know. Is Christie Brinkley in a convertible between here and Sacramento? I mean, maybe it's worth it just for that if you're Chevy Chase.
Shout out Vacaville.
But anyway.
She might be in Dixon. She could be in Davis. Might be in Fairfield.
I'm going to be in Davis this weekend.
Possibly in Sassoon City. You just never know.
You just don't know.
Nope.
How about Gene in Oakland? Hi, Gene. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm at the dog park.
Did you just call the Oakland Coliseum the dog park?
I can't believe you said that. No, I got to do my Gene Oakland every time.
I know.
It's one of my only good impersonations.
I know.
Hey, guys. Hey, by the way, Christy Brinkley, still pretty hot for her age, you know? Anyway.
I have not checked in the last 25 years, Gene, but anyway.
Well, you should, but anyways. All right, back. I want to thank you, Dibbs, for speaking up for Oakland. You know, I think people need to step back and realize, as much as guys like us love sports, and I know that's your business, you know, there are things that are more important. City of Oakland will survive. You know, it's survived a lot of other worse things in the past. It's unfortunate. I'm sad. I've been here 51 years. I came in the middle of the Ace Dynasty, and I had the good luck.
All right, we're going to have to, Gene, call us back, because that got gargly and unpleasant, but would love to hear what you had to say. 888-957-9570. Greg in Cupertino is next up. Hi, Greg. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for the show.
Yeah.
Got to share some memories and then, a little bit of frustration. Man, I'm 63. My grandfather took me to my first games. And I was at the game against the Tigers in the playoffs, the early 70s, when Bert Campaneris got beamed and he helicoptered the bat at the pitcher, and the place went nuts. And as a 9-10-year-old, I thought, what in the world is this? But it was just, I went with my grandpa, and it was just so cool to be there. And then, many of the callers have talked about the bleachers. Lived in Hayward, grown up in the East Bay, born in Oakland. We ride our bikes down to the B Street BART station, jump on BART for about $1, make it down to the Coliseum exit, buy a bleacher ticket for, I think it was $4 or $5, and just enjoy the sunshine. They would open the ballpark early for both teams' batting practice back then, and you could just get home run balls and batting practice. And then something I wish they still did, it was so much fun when that was in the lower deck, and watching the ball players play pepper. Do you guys remember that?
Of course.
Just play pepper together. And they were laughing and playing, and it felt like the players were kids playing a kids game, just like we would at the park versus a business. And that whole thing just captured me as a young person. No, this is fun. And so, I grew up, started bringing my own kids to the ballpark during the Bash Brothers years. And then just this last summer with 4 grandkids now, I was able to take the whole family just to share one more game. So it's really more than baseball. It's about family and memories and being together and sharing things. And my frustration is that I haven't heard anybody say this, and I know Oakland's not the greatest, political system with sports and things, and I know the management's not been great. But the ball team could have stayed in the Bay Area if the Giants didn't block them. This territorial rights thing was just such nonsense when Walter Haas, with a handshake, back in the early 90s, late 80s, wanted to keep 2 teams in the Bay, and now the Giants shut them down. We could have had the A's still in the Bay, not Oakland, but still here. I'm just really afraid. I'll never be a Giants fan, ever, because of that. And so that's what I got. Thanks for letting me talk. Appreciate you guys.
I like that. Greg, that's a good circle back right there.
There's a lot of people who feel that way, I know.
And it was totally, it was a bunch of bull crap, because without that handshake, then the Giants would have left. And then when the A's were in need of a little bit of a break, the Giants were like, well, we got territorial rights. That's going to be a no from us, dog. And it was all a handshake, wink, wink, nod, nod by a previous ownership. And I always thought that the A's could have fought it, and you could have gone to court and dragged that baby out for 8 to 10 years. But as we've learned, looking back, the A's weren't that sold on San Jose.
Well, that's, I think, is important.
And that's why I wanted to add that in.
Not only is it important that said, it was important that you said it.
No, you're right.
I know how it
must
feel.
Because at the time, I was infuriated, fight this. There's no such thing as territorial rights. That's a made-up thing.
And I know that this is pre-Fisher, and so this is a very difficult conversation to have, because it was way back when. I will just say the idea that if the Giants hadn't blocked them, then it was done deal, now the A's are in San Jose, is inaccurate. Like, there's 1,000 hoops that you have to go through to make these things happen, and more so now than then. I understand that.
Right.
But these are not easy things to get done. I don't, I have no issue if there are frustrations pointed toward the history of the Giants organization because of that move. I get it. But if that is your single and sole focus on how this situation has come to be, I think that that's a little bit, I think it's a little bit misguided.
Agreed. And there have been many other chances for the A's to stay, but that was one, and that's going back probably 15 years or maybe even more. It's going back pretty far.
Yeah.
I know I was doing radio then, and I was saying, there's no such thing as territorial rights when you think about it, but wasn't my fight to fight. And turns out it is actually easy to get things done because the Earthquakes, Lou Wolf, the owner of the San Jose Earthquakes, they got their stadium built in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's a little bit different for a baseball stadium. It's a little bit different, certainly now. And again, it's like... Yeah,
but if you've got a shovel and like this giant ballpark down here got built in about 3 days.
Yeah, because you had someone that was willing to pay for it.
And you had a city that was willing to let you
like,
do it.
Were you going to go to San Jose and be like, so, put it on the ballot. We'd like some public money. Well, then you're done.
Yeah.
What were they going to do?
I don't know.
So, you know, a lot of hoops to go through. But I get the frustration. Yeah. That's beyond fair. Rick in Fremont next up. Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Been a big fan for a long time. Dibs, I actually met you at the Coliseum when it was empty, walking through the concourse area. My friend and I felt like I saw Mickey Mouse, man. I ran up to you. You took a picture of me, shook my hand. Thank you very much, my friend. Oh, I appreciate
that was a great
that
day
much.
For both of us.
It sure was. Thanks. Oh, man, it was awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. Talked about it for weeks, my friend. But... circling back to Greg, I drove out to Fremont where they were going to build the stadium, saw the sign, was ecstatic, told my girlfriend, wife now, this is where we're going to raise our kids, right here, right outside the stadium. Never happened. But, yeah, it's a sad day today for everybody, man. I think it is. Long time coming, but the reason I called was something that my family and I noticed was the influx of fans that came out the last couple of weeks. It was great. It was awesome. But where were they the last 5 years? You know what I mean? It's hard to say that, but we feel like if they would have showed up, maybe they would have changed their mind and maybe they would have stuck around a little bit more, you know?
I mean,
that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, Rick, I would love to ask you a question, which is this. Far be it from me on a day like today to sort of question how anyone's feeling. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. But don't you think that the fans who stayed away in recent years were given pretty good reason to do so? Don't you believe the organization was almost coaching them to do so?
Yeah. Yes, almost like we watched the movie Major League, and we joke about the fact that that's what the A's organization was doing to the fans. You know, and you're right. You know, it's just, I guess, bitterness, upset. But it was awesome to see everybody out there. And you're absolutely right. You know, it's unfortunate because I've seen a lot of great plays there. My father moved here, just real quick to let you know how I became an A's fan. My father moved here in 72 from Mexico. And obviously what happened, 72, 73, 74, he was baited and reeled in, man. He became an A's fan for life. So when I was born in 81, guess what I was? I was an A's fan. He'd come home from work. He'd have tickets to the A's game. There we all go. Family of five sitting underneath the plaza level with a thermos full of burritos that my mom made for us. There we were, just held up, you know, on a cold Friday night, man, just enjoying the warm food and a great play, man. Ricky Henderson fan from the beginning. Yankees, A's, whatever, you know. Ricky Henderson fan. You know, at this point, I'm just rambling on, hoping I don't have to say goodbye to the stadium, but I did against the Yankees. Very emotional for me, but I want to say thank you guys for taking our phone calls today, letting us vent to you guys and everybody else in the Bay Area listening to us. But like I said, Dibs, it was awesome meeting you, bro. Not going to lie. I hope I get to meet you again, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling. That's awesome to hear. You definitely, you made my day today. That's awesome. I need a little pick-me-up.
Now I know in the future, if you ever need a pick-me-up, I'll call you Mickey Mouse.
Apparently, I resemble the... Is it the ears?
It was like meeting Mickey Mouse. That one shocked me. I didn't know what to do with that. I was like, that's not what I thought he was going to say.
I do have some big ears for a guy with a rather small head. I get that. So
He gets to feel how he wants to feel. I want to say publicly, I don't hold it against any A's fan if you didn't go the last 5 years, 10 years, whatever. If you didn't go because you're like, this Fisher guy is a bunch of bull, then like, please, I don't want that out there that anyone's like, hey, fans, where were you? We'd still, you know what I mean?
Evan Giddings and I got into a little back and forth on the air over it because he was all about the reverse boycott, and I loved it, and fans thought that was a good way to send a message to MLB and John Fisher, but I could not bring myself to spend even a penny to support him and that product.
Fair. And that's fair.
Even like these last three games where I was starting to feel like I'd like to go out there one more time, I just couldn't bring myself to give him my money.
Totally fair. Let's go to Doug, who was at the game today. Hey, Doug, what's up?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, I was at the game today. Real quick on that last caller. I mean, the stadium was dilapidated. I love that place, but it's just a piece of crap. Like, we all have that neighbor whose house is run down. That was the Coliseum. Like, I love that place, but it is not inviting. It is not, like, a place you want to take your family. But anyway, today, like, beautiful day. Just proud of A's fans for not, like, you know, burning the place down, and Mark Cotte's speech at the end was like perfect. I'm not an emotional guy, but I was teary-eyed during that. I had this kid who by the bullpen, like, dug up some dirt, gave me a piece of grass with some roots in it. I'm gonna go put it in my garden. Like, it was a good way to say goodbye, just kind of put us out of our misery. But yeah, it was a great day. Like, and you know, it's tough, man. This is a tough day, I'm not gonna lie.
Doug, thanks. Yeah, no doubt about it. I get that. And I hope everybody got what I would call peaceful souvenirs.
Yeah.
I just, you know what I mean? I hope nobody got it. I haven't heard of any stories of anybody getting arrested or stopped by security or anything like that.
I saw a report early that there were six security officers chasing somebody who had a seat.
Well, somebody tried to do that, I guess, either it was last night or the night before. And it's all over social media. They had a bank of seats that they pulled out. There were like two or three of them. And they got stopped, and those seats got reinstalled, and someone, I would think, sat in them today.
It's very difficult to steal a seat, yes, let alone three seats.
You can't shove them in your pocket.
And it's not easy to get out of the Coliseum with three seats. You've got ramps, you've got escalators, and then you've got a pretty big parking lot. Unless you have somebody in a getaway car or a getaway truck waiting, that's going to be a no from security, dog.
I also hope, did anybody get home with their seat and their spouse is like, excuse me, where do you think we're putting that?
Right in the living room.
Right here, hon. This would be like a perfect little coffee table, don't you think?
It was cool when the stick got demolished. They were selling those seats, so you had a chance to buy a seat.
Well, that was kind of the thing. Like, I think people think that place is getting demolished. It's not getting demolished.
No. It's getting used by the Oakland Roots.
Right.
I don't know how soon, but pretty soon.
Okay. 888-957-9570 is the number. And I know we've been saying all day, if you call, you're going to get in. And I can tell by the flow of calls, we're going to get to the finish line at some point, and a bunch of you are you know, well, not a bunch of you. Some of you maybe like aren't going to get there because we're going to run out of time. But that said, certainly if you're on hold right now, let's see if we can boogie through everybody as quick as possible, and we will ask you to do exactly what you've done all day today, which is think of your other A's fans. And so how about if we rock into the next block and everybody try to keep it to about a minute or less, and let's get to as many A's fans as possible with regard to how you're feeling today, okay? All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Today the guest is you, and there's more of you coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I just feel like letting it play.
You have to.
I've told you this. This is my first concert I ever went to as a kid.
At the Circle Star,
The Circle Star Theater.
Oh, my God.
Off Whipple, right there in Redwood City. Cooling the Gang, Circle Star Theater.
I don't think I've told you this, but the message on my first wedding invitation was from this song.
The message?
Like, you know, instead of you invitation. Are cordially invited,
oh,
it would be an honor with a U.
What'd you write?
There's a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter, too, because we're going to celebrate and party with you. That was the inscription on the invitation.
That's really good.
It was an invitation sensation.
I mean, if you found a lady to agree to that, that's marriage material.
Yeah. It's a good 24-year run. I'm out. Sorry. I'm trying to make
a couple of boys out of it.
Yeah, it was a great run. It's wonderful. It was like 22 years, but whatever.
Oh, gosh.
I thought it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah, I think it's still a good idea. Did it not play well over the long haul?
It played great.
Okay, great.
And it was a win.
Did you celebrate and party with you?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It was a good time.
Then everything's fine.
I didn't have to foot the bill either, which was pretty cool. Anyhow.
Yeah. Now, and then after my poem, check here for chicken or fish.
Totally.
And, yeah. There you go. All right. We promised we'd get through these as many of you as possible. So let's do it, okay? Anthony and Hayward, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just leaving the game, headed home. It's actually kind of not real. It doesn't feel like the last game. I know it's going to hit me in a couple days, and it's really going to, you know, hit one. But I want to share one memory. My parents used to take me to countless, and I mean countless, hundreds and hundreds of games for the $4 bleacher tickets at the old stadium, and nothing but good times. I remember my dad built this net that extended out. So we would get at the gate 10 a.m. or whatever you can, try to be the first one in line because the old bleacher tickets is first come, first seat. We'd like to get in the front row next to the stairs. There was no better feeling as a little kid getting to run down those stairs when that home run ball went over the wall and try to get that home run ball. But I remember when the balls hit batting cage on top under the center field bleachers, my dad built this net. And he would scoop up all those home run balls. We had over hundreds of those. So that's one of my best memories.
You were like the McCovey Cove Dave of Oakland. Nice. That's incredible. You sat there with a net and got the balls. It's awesome. Anthony, thank you very much. How about we go to Will in the East Bay? Hi, Will. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm shocked. You moved me up. Listen.
How do you know?
I'll be totally frank. Well, thank you. I'll be totally transparent. I've been a Raider fan who grew up in Southern Cal since the mid-60s. That's because of my uncle who lived in Crockett. Long story, though, okay? When we lost the Raiders, it was like losing your best friend, you know, your family, whatever. And my girlfriend and I, all of a sudden, we take a short, you know, drive to the Bart Coliseum, over the bridge, into the stadium, okay? And we sat out there in the bleachers and in the right field. When I had my Raiders season tickets, it was 102 down about 23 rows. That was, you know, a great time. So we'd sit out there. We'd buy overpriced hot dogs and beer, talk about whatever in the brilliant sunshine and watch good baseball. And we did this for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And the one thing about all that experience, I remember, you know, people would go, how can you go to that place when I was going to the football games? And I said, listen, it might be a dump, but you know what? It's our dump. You know what? And it I'll tell you something. It was so convenient from where I live, okay, to get there, to get back. Don't tell me the 49ers have that kind of convenience or, God, any other stadiums or arenas, you know, around the country that, you know, that have baseball and have football. Okay. And by the way, I just want to say one last thought. I hope I'm in a minute here. Okay. The best damn team I ever saw beat a team that I was rooting for in 1974. And I never thought for a second that we were going to win that series, and we did not. There was a comeuppance in 88. But you know what? That A's team ranks with the 27 Yankees, the 75, 76 Reds. There's probably a few more. Anyway, I appreciate you guys. You always take my call. And tomorrow's another day.
Indeed it is. Will, thank you. That was
The Dodger fan.
Yeah. And that was also 2 minutes and 11 seconds.
Will, the Dodger fan.
I just want to let people know, like, when you're doing radio, like, you think it's easy to keep track of time. He's like, I hope this is inside of a minute. I'm like, you're already over two.
You should have run him after comeuppance, because the A's got their comeuppance in 88. There's Kirk Gibson on the bum leg. No, Will.
Don't bring that up today.
He did. I didn't.
I know. Bud in Oakland is next. Hi, Bud.
What's good, fellas? Hey, O'Doyle Rules. Hey, Diz, I watched Flubber last night, but I think I seen you getting some buckets in there, man.
I scored the only 3 points in the first half, but they didn't actually film it. But go ahead, Bud. I rode the bench.
Riding the pond.
Yeah.
Listen, man, for me, this is more so about taking away the history of Oakland, man. You know, what Oakland stood for with the Black Panthers and everything, you know, the whole beginning chapter took place in Oakland. Then you have the other chapters around the United States, Philly, Chicago, and whatnot. You know, just the back, everything that Oakland stood for with the power, you know what I mean? You take away the history when you take away the teams, and you take away the teams, you take away the people. You have the teams in the cities, everybody can commune about something. Everybody's like a church thing or something like that. Everybody can commune. You take that away, you got nothing but a bunch of crime overshadowing the city, which they paint about Oakland every day. So for me, this is more so about taking away the history of where I come from. They already changed the name of the Oakland Airport. And if you ask me, they're going to try to change the name of Oakland just to get rid of that history of everything that it stood for, that me personally, not to make it a race thing, but what Black people have done coming out of the city of Oakland. I mean, all races as well, but you know, it all reverts back to one thing, man. And it's all about taking away the history of what people did. I know I took up too much time. Thanks for taking the call.
No, you did great, bud. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's go to, are we good? Yeah, let's go to Marcellus in Oakland. Hey, Marcellus, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, I'll make this quick. I just wanted to say some of the best field trips growing up were them hounding a bunch of third graders into the BART with those red BART tickets and taking us out to an A's game, or back when they had the A's opening day or fan day, so you can come and meet any of the new signings and actually get to walk around the park and sit in the seats that you probably wouldn't be able to sit in normally. I'm going to miss the hell out of the stadium, miss all of the tailgates. Go Oakland, go A's.
Love it. Thanks, Marcellus, thank you very much. And we can, we got time for Big Smooth, too. Hey, Big Smooth.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Listen, I just want to lament for a minute about losing the team that I grew up with. And you know what? It hits a little harder because this is the final of three teams that are gone in the city, and it leaves a big cavity here. But I would not put it all on Fisher, I'll be honest with you. I think there's enough to spread around. There's enough fault to spread around because I do believe Governor Jerry Brown, if he were, you know, I think he did a great service to Oakland, and people like that, we would still have teams, in my opinion. But Fisher is a greedy dude, but I wouldn't put it all on Fisher. I think the politicians in Oakland, I'm very familiar with them. I think you got to put a little blame on them as well for waiting to the last minute to get stuff done, for waffling. But again, it's just a perfect storm with Fisher and the Oakland politics. I think we were doomed from the start. And I won't put it on the fans. I haven't been to a game in a minute. But again, we're used to Oakland putting up some really bad products. And then when they mature and start to get, you know, to become great players, we lost the free agency, the whole Miguel Tejada, Giambi, and the list goes on and on. We raise up these great players. We've suffered through them. But now when they get good, they go up to the highest bidder. We get it. But we've also had some great times. We had three in a row. We had another in the 80s. We could have had another three. But, it's bittersweet. But today is certainly a sad day in the city of Oakland.
Big Smooth, thank you very much. And thank you very much for being our last caller on the show today. Yeah, I guess something less than 100% of the blame goes to John Fisher, because I don't really believe that anybody does anything all completely by themselves. But my goodness, he certainly gets most of it, at least for me.
And the Jerry Brown piece is pretty telling for me, because he was a guy who was a big Oakland advocate, and I do think that he would have been able to make something happen. But at the end of it, owners get to do what they want with teams, and today just goes down as an incredibly sad day, and I will forever remember this day, and I'll remember what else happened on this day. It was Matt Steinmetz's 60th birthday, and at the same time, it's the final game for Oakland, and It's not lost on me it's not irony, but it's coincidence that he happens to be a long-term Oakland resident.
Yep.
And this happened on his day.
And then someone who used to play basketball in Oakland called the station and sent a gift to Steiny as well, who goes by the name of Steph Curry. Pretty amazing day. Thank you for all of your vulnerability, okay? Thank you for sharing your stories. Grandy, what do you got? What's coming up here?
Well, that interview you're just talking about, Steph Curry surprising Steiny, we're going to lead off best of the game with that. Just such an awesome moment. And then from there on, we'll re-rack some of the best moments remembering the A's in Oakland.
I think that's well played. If you missed Steph call into the station earlier today, you're going to want to hear that. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. A's fans, we're thinking about you. Thank you for calling the show today. Dibs, you want to do it again tomorrow?
It's a football Friday, dog.
Here we go. Patriots coming to town. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, and for all A's fans, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.